Good morning, everybody. Is that okay? Can you hear me all right? Good, I have some important messages for you, the sort of thing that might make you tingle. But before we start, I'd like to invite Amy to come out to the front, because she didn't think she was going to be doing the talk this morning, but I like her to be included in everything here. I love Amy. She's our youth worker at church. And I was so excited this week, Amy. I went to the January sales. I can walk you up the aisle a little bit. And I found something for your new kitchen. Now, I don't know if you know, Amy's had a lot of building work in her kitchen recently. Everything's been sort of up and upheaval, and she's got a lot of new stuff, and she's been very excited about it. She likes to invite everybody round to her house. If you've missed out so far, just pop in, because she's got a lovely new big kitchen, big dining table, and loves to welcome people round. All of the youth group spend many happy hours there. And so I found something new for you, Amy, for your new kitchen. I'm really excited about it. And I went to Primark. Primark. Yeah, and I found you the very, very best microwave for your new kitchen.
Really? In Primark? A microwave?
Well, sort of. Yeah, come and see. Come and see. Come and have a look.
Oh, okay. Lots of hubs. That's not bad.
Okay. Open it up. Come and have a look.
That's a genuine
surprise.
Oh, okay, I didn't see that happening at all. Oh gosh.
So, I wonder if you've ever had a surprise. Thank you so much, James. That was really super. There's something wonderful about being on the receiving end of a surprise. There's something even more wonderful about being the surpriser. And something very exciting happens if you are providing the surprise too. So let's see where we can make a connection here. I wonder if you've ever been surprised by God. I wonder if anything's happened to you that's just so unusual. Maybe something a bit weird. Something you immediately think that God is in this. Sometimes that's when we notice a bit of a tingle. God is at work here. Let's think about the Bible story. When Jesus finds Philip. I might need the lights down a bit, Jen. I'm sorry. Thanks. Imagine Philip's tingle factor when Jesus says, "Follow me." Now, of course, "follow me" in today's world has often got something to do with Twitter. And I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind here. Following Jesus, "follow me," was something very much more practical, something very much more wholehearted. "Follow me." Philip can barely contain his excitement. "He's the one. He's the one we've been reading about. The one the prophets of old have talked about. The one Moses wrote about in the law. Jesus, he's the one." He runs off to tell his friend Nathaniel. "He's the son of Joseph. Jesus. Jesus from Croydon." No, "Jesus from Nazareth." Nathaniel is less impressed. Not expecting a Messiah from Nazareth, but from Bethlehem. He has studied the scripture. He studied the words from the prophets. Nazareth had a bad reputation as a town. "Can anything good come from here?" he says. Philip doesn't try to argue with Nathanael. Instead, he says, "Come and see." Notice that he doesn't also say, "go and see," but "come, come and see." And what convinces Nathanael to come? Well, his friendship with Philip, for a start. And maybe that certainty and enthusiasm that Philip came along with were a little bit intriguing. And Philip goes with him to meet Jesus. They go together. So even as Nathanael is approaching, Jesus says, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false, no deceit. This is quite a statement. It affirms all the effort that Nathanael had spent a lifetime practicing, being a man of integrity. But Jesus' statement caught Nathanael off guard. In his mind came that immediate question, how does Jesus know who I'm like? How could he possibly make such a statement without ever knowing me? Indeed, Nathanael comes right out and asks Jesus, how do you know me? This was after their first meeting. How could Jesus possibly know him? Jesus' response must have made Nathanael tingle. I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Well, that's a big deal, you might want to say. Yet this statement absolutely flabbergasted Nathanael. Why do we think that is? And we might not understand. But it revealed somehow to Nathanael that Jesus was God. Now, some commentaries on this story suggest that very pious Jews, like Nathanael, would pray and study the scriptures under a fig tree, which was the symbol of Israel. So unlike the Pharisees, who tried to be seen reading and praying in public places, they would find secluded places under a fig tree and pray and meditate on God's word in private, with no one around and no one to see and no one would know. Somehow it was very clear to Nathanael what Jesus had just said. And if Jesus said that, only as God could Jesus have seen Nathanael under that fig tree. Only God could do this or know this, and to have known that he was there before Philip, and before Philip had called him. Jesus revealed enough so that Nathanael knew without a doubt that Jesus has to be God and not just a guesser on the fig tree. Jesus wants Nathanael to know that this confession of faith is only a beginning. At the end of the reading here, it says that everything, the conclusion to all that Nathanael has hoped for in life, this is not the end of a long search, but it's the beginning of a greater work for Nathanael. That's why Jesus says to him, you shall see greater things than that. If you see this, you hear this and believe, you will see many greater things. And while Nathanael is overwhelmed by his realization that Jesus is the Son of God, much more will be witnessed by Nathanael as he walks with Jesus in the future. The evidence of Jesus being the Messiah would only grow, not diminish. So what might be the message for us in this Bible story? All through the Bible, God seeks his people. Notice that Jesus found Philip. Philip didn't find the Christ. Christ found Philip. And the truth at the heart of the Christian story is not that you and I have found Christ, but Christ has found us. We did not decide for God. God decided for us. Finding Jesus isn't the end of our search. It's just the beginning of our work. And Jesus calls us to follow him. Following Jesus is actually a radical commitment that demands every aspect of our being. Of course, we get it wrong from time to time and we fall short of the ideal. But the intention of radical discipleship should always be before us. As A.W. Tozer said, he is Lord of all, or not at all. So often we think we can't tell other people about Jesus because we don't know enough, or we don't know our Bible well enough, and actually none of that matters. Philip didn't know his scripture well enough. Philip came up with some statements about Jesus that weren't strictly along with the scriptural teaching that Nathanael understood. But we don't need to be theologians to be effective. We just need to be passionate about Jesus, and he will do the rest. Firstly, being a follower of Jesus means to be found by him. Secondly, being a follower of Jesus means telling others about him. And thirdly, being a follower of Jesus means keeping on going despite the knocks. Nathanael's response to Philip isn't particularly encouraging. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip had come running over to Nathanael, passionate about sharing this good news about Jesus, only to be met with a really cynical sort of response. And sometimes when we tell people about Jesus, we're met with cynicism or rudeness or apathy, and it can be really discouraging and knock our self-confidence. But when it happened to Philip, he didn't get into a great theological debate. He didn't talk about the merits of Nazareth as a geographical region or its place with the salvation of history of Israel or anything like that. He just said to Nathanael, come and see. Well, when we need to know Jesus and when we decide to follow him, we can invite our friends to come and see. We don't have to worry if they're not too impressed. We don't have to justify or explain and argue. Just invite. Come and see. Now, there's a real challenge for us here as a church, because as a rhetorical question for us to answer, if people do come and see, what will they find? Will people receive a warm welcome here? Will they get a sense of God changing lives? Will they have an experience of worship that gives them access to God? Will they go away with a sense of excitement that something is happening here? Is Jesus at the center of St. Margaret's? If they come and see, will they meet with God? All good questions for us to ponder as we come towards a new chapter in our church life and prepare to welcome a new rector in the near future. Just as Jesus knew all about Nathanael, he knows all about us too. He knows our deepest needs, and we can draw comfort and peace from this. Jesus knows your name. He knows all about you. He calls you to come and follow him and bring your friends. Come and see and prepare for a tingle factor. Amen.